Take your Bible now and turn with me at this time. We are in the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24 this morning. Our message series is called Parables of the Kingdom. And so for the next several weeks, we're studying seven parables of Jesus found right here in Matthew chapter 13. You know, we learned last week in our first message in the series that a parable in the Bible, a parable is any type of saying or story that contains a comparison or a parallel. We learned that the word parable itself, it's a word that means a comparing together. It means to take one thing and lay it alongside something else. These are all parables of the kingdom. And so what Jesus is doing here in Matthew chapter 13, he is presenting seven different ways of looking at the kingdom of heaven. And in each one of these parables, he presents a different everyday comparison or parallel that he then lays alongside the kingdom to teach us spiritual truths about the kingdom of heaven. And the everyday common object that he uses in today's parable is, get ready for this, a bunch of weeds. Just a bunch of weeds, okay? Only Jesus could take something as simple and common as weeds and teach us profound truths about the kingdom of God. So this morning we're in Matthew 13. We're going to be in verses 24 through 30 and then jumping ahead to 36 to 43. But for right now, I just want to read the parable to you as found in verses 24 through 30. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at this word from your word, this parable of Jesus, this parable about the kingdom, Lord, there are some very important truths that we need to grasp for our own life and service to you in the kingdom. So help us today, I pray. Help us to hear and to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the age-old questions has to do with the problem of evil. Why is there evil in the world? You know, people wonder, where did it come from? And probably even more importantly, why doesn't God do something about it, right? And you know, the question becomes even more serious now that Jesus has come, right? Jesus came proclaiming that the kingdom of God had arrived in his person. So now the question becomes, if the kingdom has already come, right? And if Jesus is the king, then why is there still so much evil in the world? Why didn't Jesus take care of it when he came the first time? Now, Jesus has just told the parable of the sower. We looked at that last week. The parable of the sower explained to us why there are different responses to the gospel. Now, in this next parable, he tells the parable of the weeds to explain to us why there is still evil in the world, even though the king has already come. How can there be evil in the world when God's kingdom has come? That's the question we're going to be looking at this morning as we study this parable together. So in Matthew 13 and beginning at verse 24, first, in the verses we're looking at this morning, Jesus tells the parable of the weeds. He simply tells the parable. The story itself is very simple. We just read it together as a congregation. You have wheat and weeds that are sown together in a field. Pulling up the weeds right now would harm the wheat. And so the best strategy is let them both grow together until the harvest. Wait until then to separate them. That's the basic story. But let's take a closer look at this story together now. First, we learn that a man and his enemy sow wheat and weeds together in a field. Look at verses 24 through 26 now. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Now, I want you to notice the opening phrase here. The kingdom of heaven is like. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is like. Each of the six remaining parables in this chapter, they all begin with the same identical phrase. The kingdom of heaven is like. Once again, these are what types of parables? They are parables of the kingdom. They're telling us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, you've got to be careful with these parables, okay? When you see that phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, you have to be careful not to just take the next word each time and think that that's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like that. For example, in this parable, the next word is what? A man. So, once again, if you're not careful, you might think that the kingdom of heaven is like a man, okay? But it's not like a man. It's not just like a man. It's like a man sowing good seed in his field. But it's not just even that. It's not just like a man sowing good seed in his field, because there's an enemy who comes and he sows weeds in the fields, and then there are the servants, and then you have the whole discussion with the owner of the field. In other words, the whole story is important. And so it's probably best to interpret Jesus' opening words in the following way, both in this parable and in all of the parables, okay? The kingdom of heaven is like the whole story that I'm about to tell you. The whole story is designed to teach you something about God's kingdom. And you have to hear the whole story right to the end before you know what the kingdom of heaven is like. So in this case, the kingdom of heaven is like what? It's like two sowers, one who sows good seed in his field, and then an enemy who comes along and sows the weeds in the field, and then all that takes place. I want you to notice how this parable is similar to the parable of the sower we looked at last week, but there's some key differences as well. What are some of the similarities? Well, the parable of the sower was also about a sower sowing seed, right? But in that parable, there was what? There was one sower. It was all good seed, but you had four different types of soil. Here in this parable, you only have one soil. You've got two sowers, and you have two different types of seeds. By the way, this is a really sneaky way for the enemy to try and disrupt the owner's field. You notice he sneaks in at night when no one's watching. And then it's going to take a while before anyone even notices what he's done. And by the time they notice, it's going to be too late, right? The damage is already done. I sometimes wonder if an enemy has been sneaking into my yard at night and planting those weeds, right? They got to come from someplace, right? All those weeds. Well, you know, this parable is amazing. It also shows the hatred that the enemy has for the owner of this field. Because you notice the enemy gains nothing from sowing weeds in the field. He gains nothing except the satisfaction of causing damage to the owner. That's all he gets out of this. So this is the first part of the story about what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a man and his enemy sowing wheat and weeds together in a field. Now, the second part of the story focuses on the fact that pulling up the weeds would harm the wheat. Look at verses 27 to 29 now. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you were pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them." So the servants notice the weeds are growing in the field, and they wonder about the source of the problem. They said, "Didn't you sow good seeds?" they asked the owner. "Where did all these weeds come from?" And the owner identifies an enemy as the source of the problem. In other words, the weeds are not just there by accident. They're not there by natural causes. No, this is intentional harm caused by an enemy. And the servants suggest a very simple strategy for dealing with the problem. They say, well, hey, let's hit the garden. We'll start pulling out all the weeds. It sounds sensible at first until the owner exposes the problem with that strategy. He says, if you get rid of the weeds now, you may also damage the wheat in the process. And so the owner puts forth an alternate strategy. Let them both grow together until harvest time. Look at verse 30 now. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and put it into my barn. Pulling up the weeds now would harm the wheat. So he says, let both grow together until the time is right. And when will the time be right? The harvest will be the right time for separating the wheat from the weeds. So first, Jesus tells us the parable, okay? That's what we've just looked at. He tells us the parable of the weeds. Next, he explains the parable of the weeds. But in order to get to his explanation, you've got to jump forward five or six verses in your Bible. You've got to jump ahead to verse 36 here. Because before Jesus explains the parable in your text, he goes on to share two more parables. We're going to look at those two parables next week, okay? But after he shared those two parables, he goes inside the house, and that's where the disciples come to him. They ask him, can you explain this parable of the weeds? You might wonder what house this is. This is probably Jesus' own house in Capernaum. This was the house that he used as his home base for ministry during this time of his mission. So we're going to jump ahead in the text now to verse 36, where we read this. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Now, I want you to notice that just as with the parable of the sower that we looked at last week, Jesus explains this parable to whom? To his disciples, right? Not to the crowds, okay? Not to the crowds, to the disciples. This is the way Jesus always approached the parables. The Gospel of Mark tells us he did not say anything to the crowds without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, that's when he explained everything. Now, we don't have all of the explanations for the parables recorded for us in Scripture. I wish we did. I would love to hear Jesus expound in each and every one. But whenever Jesus does explain a parable in Scripture, it is always only to his disciples. It is never to the crowds. And in explaining this parable of the weeds to his disciples, Jesus is going to do a couple of things here. First, he identifies the various elements in the parable. Okay, he's going to identify the various elements for us. He then goes on to describe the fate of believers and unbelievers as exemplified by the parable. So first, he begins by identifying the various elements in the parable. Remember, a parable is what? It's a type of saying or story that contains a comparison or a parallel. So that's what Jesus is going to do now. He's going to lay out the comparisons in this parable in order to reveal the meaning to us. And in doing so, he identifies seven elements, okay? Seven elements. The field, two sowers, two types of seed, then the harvest, and then the harvesters. Okay, let's look at verses 37 through 39 now, where Jesus identifies these seven elements in the parable. He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." Okay, well, let's walk through these identifications together now. First of all, the field is the world. The field is the whole world. And you know what? This is in accord with other passages in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus expresses the worldwide mission of the church. Jesus is a Savior for everyone. And therefore, the gospel is to be sown where? In the whole world. God's kingdom is to encompass the whole world. The field is the world. Number two, secondly, the two sowers, we've got two sowers in this parable, right, are Jesus and the devil. Jesus says the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He's referring to himself there. The enemy who sows the bad seed, that's the devil. And this also accords with human history where God and the devil have been sowing good and bad seed in the world since the beginning of time. Remember, we talked about the origin of evil earlier? Why is there evil in the world? Right? People ask the question, you know, if God created a good world, where does the evil come from? That's a very difficult question. There are no easy answers, but part of the answer that the Bible provides for us is that there is an enemy. There is an enemy, the devil. Remember when God created Adam and Eve? He put them in the Garden of Eden, and he provided everything good for them in the garden. It was a perfect environment. But then the enemy came along, and sowed the bad seed of temptation. Why is there evil in the good world that God created? Because you got two sowers. You got two sowers here, Jesus and the devil. And then next, Jesus identifies the good seed and the bad seed. And the good seed and the bad seed refer actually to two different groups of people, believers and unbelievers. Now here specifically in Matthew 13, Jesus calls them the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one. Sons of the kingdom, sons of the evil one. How do you enter the kingdom of God? By faith, by believing in Jesus. And so the two seeds refer to believers, those who enter the kingdom, sons of the kingdom, and unbelievers, sons of the evil one. Jesus told the people of his day who did not believe in him, the unbelievers, he said this, John 8:44, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire, sons of the evil one. The letter of 1 John says this about believers. 1 John 5:19, John says, we know that we are children of God, sons of the kingdom, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, sons of the evil one. So the Bible says you've only got two options, folks. You've only got two options, so pick your team, okay? Pick a side. Do you want to be a child of the kingdom or a child of the evil one? And it all comes down to how you will personally respond to Jesus and the gospel. And then finally, Jesus identifies the harvest and the harvesters in the parable. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters, those are the angels. The Old Testament often uses the image of a harvest for the last judgment at the end of the age. So Jesus has now identified the various elements for us in the parable. Now he goes on and he makes the application. He goes on to describe the fate of believers and unbelievers. Look at verses 40 through 43 now in the parable. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin. And all who do evil, they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And here we learn three very important things about the fate of believers and unbelievers at the end of the age. First of all, God will weed out of his kingdom all evil and all sin. God will weed out of his kingdom all evil and sin. And you know what? That's good news, isn't it? That's good news, because remember the question we asked at the beginning of the message today? Why doesn't God do something about all the evil in the world? Well, part of the answer is that he will do something about it. God will weed out all evil and sin at the end of the age. You know what? This is exactly what we find when we come to the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament. We read this in Revelation 21. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so one day, yes, there will be an end to all evil and all sin. The new heaven and the new earth will be perfect in every way. That's the first thing Jesus tells us about the fate of believers and unbelievers. God will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Secondly, unbelievers will be punished for their sin. Jesus says, just as the weeds in the parable are pulled up and burned in the fire, he says, so it will be at the end of the age. All those who cause sin, all those who do evil, will be weeded out of the kingdom, and God's angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is also exactly what we find in the book of Revelation. We read John's words in Revelation chapter 20, where he tells us about his vision. He says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. What will be the fate of believers and unbelievers at the end of the age? Number one, God will weed out of his kingdom all evil and sin. Number two, unbelievers will be punished for their sin. And then finally, number three, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This language comes from the Old Testament book of Daniel, which also speaks of the fate of believers and unbelievers at the age. We read these verses earlier in the service, Daniel 12, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting content. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You know, and once again, this is exactly what we find when we come to the end of the book of Revelation. We read in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the whole Bible, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The sons of the kingdom will shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. All evil and sin will be removed from our lives. We'll be glorified and perfected in Christ. And so here's another motivation to choose Jesus over the world, right? Because there's a judgment coming, when God will send out his angels to separate the believers from the unbelievers. And God's going to weed out all the evil and sin from his kingdom. Unbelievers will be punished. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Remember, the gospel is good news, right? It's good news. Sometimes we read those passages of judgment in the scripture, and we think, man, that's bad news, right? But the good news is you don't have to be punished for your sins. You don't have to pay the price for your sins because Jesus already did it for you. Jesus paid the price, and when you trust him to be your Savior, you will shine like the sun in the kingdom of your heavenly Father forever. Let me close our message this morning now with three final applications. Number one, first of all, hear and understand the parable. Right, when Jesus explained this parable to the disciples, what did he finish by saying? He said, he who has ears, let him hear. You know, we started the message today by talking about the problem of evil in the world. And we asked the question, why doesn't God do something about it? Well, the answer is that God has done something about it, and God will do something about it. What has God done? God sent his son Jesus into the world to conquer all evil and sin at the cross. What will God do about it? Jesus will come again to take care of the problem of evil once and for all. at the end of the age. And you say, well, why doesn't God do something about it now? Well, that's why Jesus told this parable, right? Yes, the kingdom of God has arrived with Jesus, but there's an enemy who's working in the world as well. And God could get rid of all the evil right now, but his children would be harmed in the process. Some of his children haven't even come to him yet. And so God is patient. He is patient, waiting until the end of the age to make the final separation between good and evil. God's kingdom is both present, where good and evil grow together in this world, and his kingdom is future, where good and evil will be separated forever. That's our first application. Hear and understand the parable. Number two, repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Jesus did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now is the time to believe and be saved, because judgment will eventually come. God allows evil to exist in this world for the time being, but eventually all that evil is going to be weeded out. All that sin is going to be destroyed. God is going to separate believers from unbelievers. Unbelievers will be punished for their sin. God will gather his children to himself. Repent and believe the gospel. And then our third application is this: wait for God's appointed time for judgment. You know, the Bible tells us that we should judge nothing before its time. God is patient, and so we need to be patient as well, right? Aren't you glad that God is patient with you? I'm so glad God is patient with me. We need to be patient. Now, as we're patient and waiting for God, we should still stand against evil in all of its forms, right? We should seek to be salt and light in this world, but we still need to be patient in an evil world. We need to be patient with evil, patient with people, patiently waiting for Christ's return. The kingdom of God has arrived with Jesus. Yes, there is still evil in the world, but Jesus is coming again, and when he does, God will judge all evil forever. That's a whole lot of truth from just a bunch of weeds growing in a field, right? You see, that's why Jesus is the master teacher. That's why these parables are so amazing. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for the parable of the weeds. Thank you, Lord, for explaining this one to your disciples. Lord, we know that you explained it to them so that it would be written down and so that we would have your words of explanation as well. Lord, it's a sober parable. Lord, it explains to us some of the reasons why we see evil in the world around us and how we need to be patient. There's a warning here for those who do not know you, for those who continue to hold off and continue to hold on to their sin and their sinful lifestyle. For those who say, well, one day I'll come to Jesus. There's a warning here. For Lord, we do not know the hour or the day of your return. And Lord, when you come, it will be too late. The harvest is coming. Right now, the weeds and the wheat grow together. But there is a separation coming. That separation is forever. Lord, help us to believe in you. Help us to follow you. Help us to share the good news of the gospel with those around us, that they may come into your kingdom, Lord, that they may be children of the kingdom instead of children of the evil one. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.